Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck.
I've made up my mind. Don't need to think it over. If I'm wrong, I am right. Don't need to look no further. This ain't lust. I know this is love.
Two Grammys and international success, all for a singer just shy of 21. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up on our show today, we'll have the Montreal-based indie rock musician and composer Patrick Watson and his band playing live in our studio. But first, when she was just 19 years old, the British singer-songwriter known by her first name, Adele, released an album that sold more than 600,000 copies in the U.S. alone. It was called simply 19, and it spawned a hit with this song, Chasing Pavements. Now age 20, she's won 2 Grammy Awards, appeared on Saturday Night Live, and was photographed for a fashion feature in Vogue magazine. And on the eve of her 21st birthday, the singer, born Adele Laurie Blue Adkins, is writing songs for her next album. She joins me today here in our Soundcheck studio. Hi, Adele.
Hi.
Wow, what a year for you.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
So the ABC show, Ugly Betty, I left that out of the list as well. What do you do for an encore?
I don't know. I just got to go and I lie on a beach somewhere for a couple of months, get my head together, and then kind of get my head down and start working on my second record properly.
Now, when Brits say go lie on the beach, where do you go? Is that Mallorca or?
Well, it used to be, but I can't really go there. Like Tenerife and Gran Canaria, it's full of English people, so it wouldn't be much of a holiday for me.
So go to Jones Beach out on Long Island or something. There's no
Isn't
Brits
it
there.
Cold there at the moment?
Oh, come on. That's why there's no Brits
I
there.
I was thinking more like the Maldives or Barbados. I was thinking more like that. Go and drink some pina coladas.
Now, the Grammys that I mentioned, you beat the Jonas Brothers for Best New Artist, which I don't know if you realize how huge the Jonas Brothers
are. Oh, I do know.
Are.
I am their biggest fan.
Really?
I am, yes. I love them very much.
And you beat out Katy Perry for the Best Female Pop Vocal Performance. Does that create... has this all happened too fast? You feel like maybe it wouldn't have been a bad thing to be playing, you know, clubs to 20 and 30 people for a year or two before all of this happened?
I did do that. I didn't really do it here because I kind of made a name for myself in England really quite quickly. But before my album came out in England, I was playing to 5 people and they weren't even there to see me. Do you know what I mean? So I've already done that. But sometimes I kind of wish that I was doing shows that were really tiny because I really enjoy intimate shows. Like, you get to kind of really have a one-on-one with your audience. But like, I love playing live, so that the more people that come and see me, it makes it even better as well, you know, because it means that more people want to come and spend their money that they earn and give me an hour of their day, which like, is a really big deal to me that they come and do that. But no, it has happened very fast. And last year it was too much. Like, England and Europe last year, I had to have like 3 months off because I just had like 2 weeks off at one point, and then I realised everything that happened and I just got really scared. So I had loads of time off and I didn't come here for ages. And then just like people gave me space, like all my management and stuff. And like, I love working there. Not that it's working, it's like the best job in the world. So,
but it is still work. I mean, and you know, we've had musicians of every stripe on this program, pop, classical, and everything in between. And you know, that early success can be a really tough thing for a young person to handle. Yeah. So, how do you handle it? What do you do to kind of stay grounded? Say who you are.
Everyone that works with me and like my team, as they say, is exactly the same people that worked for me from the very, very beginning. So it's not like I've become some diva and been like, you can't manage me anymore, you're not good enough. You know what I mean? So everyone that works with me is the same people. So they've known me from before any of this happened. So like, everyone treats me exactly the same that I work with. And like, there's that thing, like, you know, people always say that you change, and then the artist always like, no, it's other people that have changed, not me. Like, I don't have any of that because people that I surround myself with are the same people as always. I don't hang out with celebrities and stuff like that. I did that last summer and that's why I went a bit doolally. So everyone I'm with now, there's nothing interesting like to kind of like gossip magazines and paparazzi if I go to the cinema with someone that isn't famous. Do you know what I mean? But I love it. So yeah, I just manage to stay out of all that stuff.
So do you still get a chance to like see old friends when they're doing concerts? And
yeah, sometimes. I mean, all my friends that I was like, we were just talking about it, like all the people that I know, not like best friends, but you know, if we see each other, we're going to have a drink together or whatever. We all used to do shows together on the same bill. And all them, we all got signed. Every single one of us got signed. And most of them are either still in the studio recording their first albums or they're just about to come out of their second album. So while I've been on the road, they've been in the studio. So I haven't really got to see much of them. But Jack Pignatti and Jamie T, who are really good friends of mine, I've caught up with them a little bit, which is lovely.
And they've both been on the show in the past and released really great records a year and a half ago. And you say both of them are now in the studio making number two.
They're done. They're both done. Both their albums are done.
What about you?
My album. I'm still working the first one. I've got about five songs done.
And is there this kind of... suddenly, I mean, it seems like your career was kind of a series of happy accidents, as you say. It was just like the people that they were your mates who you were working with, and still, is there now suddenly this weight of expectation from the industry?
No, I don't think there is. I think like a few people are trying to put pressure on me, but my record company in England, Excel, like, it wasn't a big deal when I signed to them. There wasn't like some huge battle going on over like who was going to sign me, and I signed for no money, so it wasn't like there was all this kind of investment riding on it. And I think we just thought it'd be a London thing, like, you know, let alone a UK thing, Europe, American kind of world thing. And because of like, I've been so fortunate with the success, like, people that work with me, they really know what they're doing. Like, they're a bit slacky sometimes, but everyone is, you know. It's the same with major labels, like Excel slack, Columbia slack, Universal slack. They all slack sometimes, but like, you're only as good as your next album, and they know that. Do you know what I mean? So they're not trying to rush me. Like other people that I know, like debut artists, they were like, their second album's done and it's rubbish. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you should be afraid of losing that little niche that you've created for yourself and be scared that people are going to forget about you, because they'll remember you if you come back with a wicked song or a wicked album, you know? And everyone that works with me agrees with that, so I'm not being pressurized, no.
People are not soon forgetting Adele, mainly on the strength of the album 19 and this hit single.
Keep chasing pavements even if it leads nowhere. Oh, would it be a waste even if I knew my place? Should I leave it there? Should I...
Adele won the 2009 Grammy for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance for this song, Chasing Pavements. Adele is my guest on Soundcheck today. And so you said you have about five songs written for the next record. I mean, you're at an age, you know, like between 18 and 21, 22, 23, you know, people grow a lot.
Yeah.
Are you finding that the songs are maybe a little different than the ones that populate the first record?
Yeah, definitely. They certainly are more mature. I've got different views on stuff like now. And like that 19, the first record, like that was like the first proper time that I'd been was in a proper relationship and been like so in love, and therefore when it went sour I wasn't prepared for it because I'd never experienced that. But I've been in like a few relationships now and like whatever. So, do you know what I mean? I've got a different attitude to it now. And like, but I don't know, I just I'm
a cynic already and you're not even 21 yet.
I can't be bothered. I still have the same problem with boys I've always had. But I don't know, yeah. And also like, you know, I wasn't expecting anything to happen with the first album, like I just said. So, like, I was so honest on that first record, and I think that's a really good thing. And like, my fans seem to really love it. But sometimes I feel really patronized and kind of like by journalists and stuff. I always think they're like, oh, you know, you're only 19, 18 when you wrote it. Like, you don't know what love is. And after a while, it kind of digs away at your soul a little bit. Like, do you know what I mean? And it makes you feel really rubbish. So with this album, I'm not being so honest. Like, obviously honest. Like, I'm trying to be a little bit clever and disguise what I'm on about a little bit. And also you get some like really weird like 50-year-old men that like convinced that they're the one for you. It's just like they're not even like some hot like 20-year-old. They're like at divorce. I don't know, anyway. Sorry, oh God.
Wow.
No, I just,
here I thought we were talking about music.
No, we are. I'm just saying, so you know, like, since I wrote the first album, like, you know, a trait is I'm trying not to be so like, this is what's wrong with me.
Right, so you're not bearing your soul for everyone.
Yeah, and like, you know, my lyrics are more mature and, you know, I'm like, my first album doesn't have one specific sound, and that was kind of intentional. Like, I wanted it to be a mishmash of my favorite kind of music because I don't even know what kind of music I want to make that is known by me, you know.
What did you listen to, you know, as a teenager? I mean, who were your favorites?
When I was about 14, 15, I really got into Etta James, and she's my favorite singer ever.
Etta James, the great American blues singer.
Yeah, and like, she's the only artist that I really believe when I listen to her. And like Destiny's Child, like a huge part of like my teens. But like dirty pop, like Spice Girls and Britney and Backstreet Boys and Justin
and the Jonas Brothers.
And the Jonas Brothers now, but you know, they were, wasn't like, Nick was probably about five when I was listening to the Spice Girls. But but then I started kind of getting into like Etta James and Roberta Flack and Karen Dalton and Billy Bragg and a bit of Bruce Springsteen and stuff like that, which I think was probably like a natural progression because I was into pop, and then my friend Dion's mum gave me like a Marvin Gaye 12-inch or something, and Dion got me into Destiny's Child, and then just natural kind of, yeah.
Well, once you get into Etta James, though, I mean, you're into some deep in the pocket kind of, you know, and you're performing with her.
I am, yeah, the Hollywood
next
Bowl
month.
Next month, yeah.
What are you hoping for from that? Will you actually get to sing with her?
I'm hoping so. I don't know. We haven't really I haven't spoken to her. I don't have a number. I'm like, hey, Sadelle, you're right. I mean, I can't really imagine doing that. but hopefully, yeah. I mean, I already cover her song in my set anyway. Like, I do Fool That I Am, and sometimes I do I'd Rather Go Blind. But that's really hard to sing, that song. But I would love to, yeah. I would love to do a song with her. It'd be amazing.
When you sing, the South London accent is not nearly as audible as when you speak. And one of our listeners, Dan, here in New York, leaves this comment on the website. Sounds to me like she has the same accent as Amy Winehouse. Are they from the same place?
Yeah, well, I grew up in North London till I was 10. Might be that, I don't know. Maybe it's just because we're not posh like some of the other girls that come from London.
And you both went to the same school, right?
Yeah.
That Brit school?
The Brit school, yeah.
What is that? I mean, it seems like they just churn out professional musicians.
it's a free performing arts school in the shabbiest part of South London. It's in a place called Selhurst. It's in between like Fortnum Heath and Croydon, which isn't that nice. But like, you don't have to do jazz hands. Like, you don't have to do like, kind of like Chicago, you know. You can do if you want to do. Or you can just do specific strands like just theatre or just dance or just music, art, production, media. I think they're going to start doing like textiles, like as in the kind of behind the scenes making, you know, the clothes.
So stagecraft
and stuff,
like that. How do you get in? Is it like, do you have to audition to get into
the
school?
Yeah, you have to like, kind of do an impressive, what do you call it, like form, to fill in the form. That's not the proper word for it, but you have to fill in a form and then like just like tell them why you think that you should like go and stuff like that. And then if you get an audition, you do the audition and then you get in. And it used to be like, you know, I mean, it's just like anywhere. Sometimes there's really good people and sometimes there are really awful people. But apparently, like, it was open for, like, 12 years before anyone made it big. And then suddenly, like, Katie Malou and then Amy Winehouse and Kate Nash and me and the Kooks and The Feeling all came out, all got number one albums. And then all this attention was on the Brit School. And before, they used to get about 500 applicants for the music course a year. And now I think they get over about 8,000. So it's harder to get in now.
So they're doing something right.
They are doing something.
What are? Yeah. I mean, you've gone through it. What?
I don't know. I mean, the music course. Everyone, you know, everyone else that went there, they did other strands. But the music course, like, I mean, I've never been one to like be good at academics. I hate being told what stuff is. Like, who decided that something is that? Like, some old man that isn't even alive anymore. Like, why are we still listening to what he said? So I never really went to the academic lessons, but it was more just being around other kids that wanted to be productive. Like, my other school that I was at before from like 11, like, just I wouldn't have done anything if I stayed there. Do you know what I mean? I just wanted to bum around. I didn't want to do anything. And I had like no energy and was just like hanging out with not very good people and stuff like that. But when I went to the Brit school, I'd just sit in the hallway and just like write like 8 songs a day with some like rock guy.
but you must have had music, you know, you must have had that inclination beforehand to even get into the school.
Well, I loved it. I was always singing and stuff, but it was just more of a get out from the other school I was at, if I'm honest. Like, and my mum was worried for me, I think, and she just wanted me to go off and do something. And my mum believed in me more than I ever did, and she still does a little bit. Like, I don't really rate myself as a singer. I don't think I get in.
And was it there that you developed this kind of soulful, this kind of older style of singing?
Yeah, I mean, I was at the Brit School when I got into it at James and stuff like that. And also, you know, I think like the kind of most R&B I got before I went to the Brit School was Destiny's Child, and they're very modern R&B.
Right.
But like I got into like live singers as well, like Erykah Badu and Jill Scott, who I think are phenomenal, phenomenal live. And that was like other singers at the Brit School. They're like, oh, check out this person, check out that person. And also, you know, I started there when I was 14 and I was there until I was 18. So, like, you know, again, you grew up a lot between like 14 and 18 as well. So I think it was just my like obsession with Etta James and became part of like my like musical DNA or whatever, and then kind of managed to find my own little voice in it. I don't know.
And the results on the hit record from last year called 19, my guest is the English singer and songwriter Adele.
Do you see my heart on my sleeve? It's been there for days on end, and it's been waiting for you to open up yours too, baby. Come on now, I'm trying to tell you just how I like to hear the words roll out of your mouth finally. Say that it's always been me that's made you feel a way you've never felt before, and I'm all you need, and that you never want more. Then you'd say all of the right things without a clue, but you'd save the best for last, like I'm the one for you. You should know that you're just a temporary fix. This is an odd routine with you. It don't mean that much to me.
Best for Last is from Adele's record 19, her debut, released when she was 19 last year, sold over 600,000 copies here in the States. And with that, Adele has come a lot of attention, you know, photo shoots and the TV appearance on Ugly Betty. It was actually in the finale of Ugly Betty, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it goes out on the 18th of May or something, I think.
And the Saturday Night Live thing was, it happened to be the episode that Sarah Palin was hosting.
But she wasn't even meant to be there that week. She was meant to be there the following week when Coldplay were the musical guests. So it's completely by accident. Like, something must have come up in that campaign, obviously. So, and she came a week early.
So when I said before your career has seemed like a series of happy accidents, that was yet another one.
Oh, yeah, that was the first accident. Like, and oh, it blew me away, that show. Like, it was so nice to be asked anyway, because like an American institution, and like we don't have anything like that in the UK. Like, I mean, we have like things like, you know, that we are treasured in the UK, but nothing like SNL. And I was just excited that Josh Brolin was hosting. I'm the biggest Goonies fan. I was like, oh my God. And I thought, I seen a few other episodes when I'd been here, and I was like, I didn't know who any of the presenters were. So when I found out it was someone that I've known forever, known of, I was really excited. And then I found out she was on it, and then I was a bit like, oh, okay. But then I got really excited.
Did you meet her?
I did, yeah.
And?
Yeah, she was nice.
Nicely done.
We weren't discussing politics.
Very nicely reflected.
You know what she was? She was really nice. She just came over and said, hey, like, we're really big fans. She was really nice.
Okay. 17 million people tuned in to see that
I heard.
That broadcast. So Annie Leibovitz, who is, you know, one of the very few photographers in this country who you can mention her name and people will know who you're talking about, did this Vogue shoot for you. And you told Vogue that at one point you were a grunger, and then
I told Anna Wintour I was a grunger.
Now she's the one that film is the Devil Wears Prada is modeled after.
Yeah.
So you had a run in with her?
I did, yeah, but I didn't even know who Anna Wintour was. Right, Hamish Bowles came to interview me for the piece. So I was like dead excited because it's Vogue, and like who would have thought I'd be in Vogue, right? So he came and I loved him. And then I was having my final fitting at the Vogue office, like here in the city. And then everyone was like rushing around going, Anna wants to meet you. And I was going, who's Anna? Like, I was going, hey, who's Anna? The editor of Vogue. I was like, oh, right, yeah, Meryl Streep, yeah. So then I got really scared. And then everyone was like panicking because like it was kind of not that organised that we were going to say hello to each other. And then she was so nice and laid back when I met her. Like, I thought she was going to be horrible, but she was just lovely. And then she was like, what styles do you like? What styles did you used to be into? And I was like, well, I used to wear dog collars and like... And I tried to explain my Rude Girl days to her, but I couldn't really get it over. Like when I used to have like my hair gel to my face.
So now, like, you know, half the time when you read articles about you, Adele, people are talking about how glamorous you are and stuff. And here you are saying, you know, who would have ever thought of me in Vogue? Are you getting used to thinking of you in Vogue?
No, I'm still not really, no, not at all. Like, I'm starting to get into fashion now. I used to be really into, like, vintage clothes. Like, not like some, like, collector or anything, but when I was, like, 12, 13, 14, I used to, like, love just looking ridiculous in, like, loads of different mishmash patterns and stuff. And then I just, like, I couldn't really be bothered, and I was just like, oh, whatever, I just wear my school uniform all the time, even on the weekends. No, I'm joking. And then, I don't know, I'm getting into designer stuff now, probably because, like, when I do shoots, like, because people are more aware of me, more people want me to wear their clothes, so I get to look at nicer stuff. But, like, I'm in my pyjamas. Like, I've been in my pyjamas for, like, a week. Do you know what I mean? I've been on a tour bus. I've just got leggings and a jumper on. I've got some nice little Chanel's on, though.
So the next time Anna Wintour has occasion to ask you who you're wearing, you'll actually have an answer.
Have an answer, yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll wrap up a little bit of your cover of Bob Dylan's song, Make You Feel My Love. Adele is my guest. The album is called 19. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And happy birthday
Thank
a day
you.
In advance.
Thank you.
Blowing in your face, and the whole world is on your case. I could offer you a warm embrace to make you feel my love. When the evening shadows and the stars appear, and there is no one there to dry your tears, I could hold you for a million years to make you feel my love.
Up next, an unlikely solo instrument, a new take on big band music, and an indie rock saint, all in our picks of the week. And later, the Montreal-based musician Patrick Watson has crossed paths with people like Philip Glass and James Brown, but his sound is somewhere between classical music and indie rock. He and his band will play live in our studio.
I will sleep in your wooden arms tonight.
You're listening to an encore edition of Soundcheck.